This is Flick Flops Cult Classics.
Before we get started, please hit the like button and subscribe if you enjoy these reviews and would like to see more. We would greatly appreciate it, and it would help our little channel grow. Also, Tummy Twins Media is dedicated to bringing you a variety of content and plan to launch some more podcasts soon. In the meantime, please check out our other podcasts, Bonding with Mark and Andy and Tangent Station with Kevin and Willis. Thank you for your continued support, and now on to the show. This week, we travel to the fictional town of Santa Carla, murder capital of the world, and revisit The Lost Boys, the 1987 Joel Schumacher teen horror film starring Jason Patrick, Kiefer Sutherland, Diane Wiest, Bernard Hughes, Jamie Gertz, Alex Winter, and the two Coreys.
What?
In the movie, Michael and his brother Sam and their recently divorced mother moved to the small beach town, which would be okay if it wasn't infested by all those damn vampires. Does The Lost Boys still hold magic like it did in the 1980s? Or is revisiting this film just a stake through our heart? Find out on this episode of Flick Flops Cult Classics.
Cult Classics. Lost Boys, Gary. Man, what a fun ride this was down Mammary Lane.
I'm sorry, was that Mammary?
What? Check. Jamie Gertz is hot, man. I'm not going to lie. Let's jump in. I'll do some quick numbers for us, and we'll get into this thing. Let's see here. Rotten Tomatoes has us sitting at 77 and 85. 77 with the critics, 85 with the audience. That's seems pretty fair, pretty reasonable. The budget on this thing was $8.5 million. Box office was $31.7 million back in the day. I don't have any. That's not adjusted or anything. That's the numbers from back then. For some reason, Gary, I'm looking at my notes, and I don't know if you have it. I did not write down the writer of this film. I could talk about the director if you could possibly
Jeffrey look Boehm, I believe.
Yeah, there we go. I have no idea why it's not in my notes.
I think it's Jeffrey Boehm.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go with that. I feel like an idiot because I
don't have it in front of me, but I think so.
I'm sorry. Hopefully he'll edit some of this down.
Maybe you're not seeing this.
I'll just be like this.
Jeffrey Boehm.
And you put the writer's name and you just overdub it.
There you go.
We'll do directed that. By the great Joel Schumacher. He's famous. We know Joel Schumacher for he was a staple of the 80s. Mm-hmm. He did stuff like Salem Was Fire, which was fantastic. Flatliners, Falling Down, The Client, Batman Forever, A Time to Kill, Batman and Robin.
Nipplegate.
Don't you dare.
Wait. Eight millimeter. And Gary, early in his career, he did two classics that we may someday have on this exact show.
Awesome.
Maybe not cult classics. Maybe okay. Something else.
But a flick flop somehow. Okay.
The Incredible Shrinking Woman.
I loved that when I was a kid. I don't know how it holds up, but
DC Cab.
And you know, I don't remember DC Cab that well, but
I really don't. I'm thinking maybe it was a Mr. T vehicle.
The name is Mr. T. First name is Mr. Middle name is that period. Last name is T. Listen and listen good.
But I remember that he was in it for sure.
I could be wrong, but anyway,
no, you're right.
Joel Schumacher is a really great director, and I'm not trying to knock him. I just have a little fun there with him. But those are the numbers and the information I have on the Lost Boys. The stats, the numbers, and let's talk about this great film, Gary.
All right, let's talk about the good.
Yes.
Let's tackle the good first. So this movie was made, and originally it was going to be a Peter Pan themed thing, obviously from The Lost Boys.
Yes.
They were going for a Goonies vibe, and Richard Donner was the original director. He was going to take this on. The project got delayed. He went off to do Lethal Weapon, and the studio asked Joel Schumacher if he'd take a look at it. Joel Schumacher looked at it and said, I don't want to direct this, but they let him make changes to the script. And I don't know if that's where Jeffrey Boehm came in or not, but he took it and made it. Schumacher wanted to make it teens. So he upped the age of the characters. It became a teen vampire thing. And the good that comes out of that is that really started a whole trend of a lot of, hadn't been done yet. You've got trendy music and cool outfits and fashion that the vampires had, and it just really pushed that into a whole new thing. I don't think we have Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Twilight, any of that without this movie. That might be overstating, but I'm not
sure. That might be more of the bad side of the ledger.
We'll go over to that side later. The acting I thought was mostly good. There's a bad moment, bad thing that I'll talk about when we get to the bad, but I thought the acting overall was pretty good. I thought, you know, there's a lot of humor in the film, and I thought that's pulled off well. I thought the vampires looked pretty cool, you know, back for the time.
Yeah.
Watching it again, maybe that's a different story, but I didn't realize how campy it was. I recognize now that I didn't recognize camp back in those days.
Let me interrupt you for a second. How long had it been since you've seen the movie?
Man, probably 25 years or so. It's been a while.
I'm kind of the same. It has to be easily 20 years for me.
Yeah.
So I was this thing to me was just a good memory of you know, good old pair of jeans I got back in the day, and right. Now I watched it again. So yeah, the campy. As we get older, it's campier than we remember.
Yeah. I think that's maybe part of it, you know, as a child or younger, as a teen, I guess, in that time, you don't recognize that as much then.
And we didn't expect much of our films when we were 19.
True.
I didn't. I wasn't looking for a good Will Hunting back then. I wanted to see vampire movies.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
So carry on my wayward self.
I will say that the directing was good. It's very, the special effects and directing and everything, you can tell that the budget was limited. They didn't have endless money to be making a bunch of effects. You'll see a lot of shots in that movie that are clear that, they had to take shortcuts to get around some of these things.
And isn't it true they had to cut the budget when they started going a certain way?
Well, they did. So I guess the studio had seen some of the dailies and they had gotten back to, I guess they were basically saying, is he making a horror movie or a comedy? Because it seems more comedy. And they were super worried about what they had seen. So they pulled back the budget and Joel Schumacher had to do work, you know, with what he had left to make the rest of it. I don't know where in the film process that was. So I don't know where the cutbacks were, but you can see it as you watch this movie. It's not hard to recognize where they made decisions based on budget.
Yeah.
For what it's worth. But that can, all that considered, excellent job, you know, considering it's a good family tale. It's got good themes. There's definitely a family bonding theme there. There's the teen kind of facing peer pressures and maybe even substance stuff involved. So there, it tackles more than just that simple issue. It's a lot deeper really than it seems on the surface. And I think if you really evaluate the film and think about those things, you'll notice that.
I don't have any much to add to that because this was a fun movie. As a horror fan, I like new takes on the traditional, the standards of horror, vampires. You know, we have our traditional vampire, Frankenstein, werewolves, you know,
right. Those
are mummy. And vampire seems to be one that gets reinvented every so often. And I thought this was a really neat take on it. And
fun. I mean, I think that's part of it, you know, it's fun too.
The comedy plays okay. It plays well. And to stick to the good from it, to go back to the acting, I was impressed with the acting in this, some of these kids. I mean, Corey Haim and Corey Feldman. And I mean, Feldman's a little over the top, you know, in his Rambo-ish character, but he does it well, you know? And I'm like, I just like these guys. I don't know. I was happy. And it was fun to revisit this film. The one actor that threw me off a little was Alex Winter, because I just see him as from Bill and Ted. I can't see him any other way. And I hate that that's the case for him.
Excellent.
I know.
Here, I mean, that's all I see is, but you know,
yeah, me too.
Excellent, you know, but and I think if you look closely, because I think they just done Stand By Me, Corey and Kiefer had just finished Stand By Me, Stephen King, and they play very similar characters in this movie too. So I don't think that means anything. I'm comfortable with these characters. I'm comfortable with these acting. Kiefer's fantastic. I mean, this guy's is a beast of an actor.
Before we transition from good to bad,
yeah,
I'll lay something out that fits right in the middle.
Yeah.
This was the first film that the two Coreys were together in.
Nice.
So for good or bad.
IBM presents You Make the Call.
Look, we don't get licensed to drive without this, right?
You Make the Call. There were a few films that came out after this with both of them. And like I said, good or bad, it's somewhere in the middle.
The Coreys. That's awesome.
And let's tackle the bad.
Wait, there's bad in this movie?
Look, I know you mentioned Corey Feldman. To me, I mean, I'm not going to say horrible. I don't think he was horrible. I have to also consider his age at the time.
Yes.
And I know that there was a lot of talk about trying to toughen him up to make him kind of come off that tough.
Thing.
I just didn't buy it. I don't think I bought it in 87. That's the one sticking point with the, and I think it's the affected voice.
Yeah.
Properly, you know, try to push his voice down lower, try to sound tough. And I know that was directly from Joel Schumacher. But that was the one thing that kind of made me roll my eyes just a little, you know.
Sure.
It didn't spoil the nostalgia of the movie. The other thing I will say is I think the storyline itself is a little thin in the aspect that the character development doesn't have time to truly develop.
Yeah.
It feels like the relationship between Jamie Gertz's character, Star, right? And
I think so, yeah.
And Michael. That's rushed. There's some timing issues with that because of that. It seems like maybe there was some, and I think there was some scenes cut out of the movie that maybe could have made that make a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like parts of that were kind of rushed, where if it had more of a sense of developing a little longer, even if it was just some trick of, you know, passing time somehow and making it seem like it took a longer course of time. I think that would have helped the movie. And I think I would put that in the bad column.
Yeah. It does seem like
but
the whole movie takes place in a couple of days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they moved to town, he falls in love with hot chick, which easy, understood, been there, guilty. She gets a job, and then vampires take over.
Right.
Like, man, I remember moving when I've moved places. You moved as a kid, Gary. Is it that quick? Do you make friends? And
not this kid. I don't know how that worked out, but I'd say that I put that in the bad column, but
sure.
But really, there's not a lot of bad, especially. You know, somebody coming at this movie now and seeing it for the first time, I could see them having multiple problems with it. But you have to recognize the time period that it came out and recognize how groundbreaking it was for certain things, for certain aspects, especially vampire lore. It really pushed a lot of ideas forward, and you have to recognize it for that. So, that's pretty much all I have for any of that stuff. But was there anything we didn't tackle you want to talk about, or?
Well, I mean, look, we can't talk about Lost Boys if we don't talk about the raw sex appeal of the guy over your left shoulder. The sax man.
I was like, who?
He's like, what? There, like, right there. Yeah, you see that guy?
This guy.
How cool was sax guy? I did look him up, Gary, because I was like, I thought he was a fake. And a guy really is a sax player. His name is Tim Capello. And he is
in a band called Sax Appeal.
Oh man, that would be the greatest thing ever.
He's
a real musician who toured and recorded with the likes of Ringo Starr and Tina Turner. So back in the day, this was his look. And from what I read, he was called in for one day, and he said, "This was my look. This was my touring look. The greased up body, and I, you know, shaking it and playing the sax. He said, that's what I did with Tina Turner for." Decades, you know.
I mean, I don't know what else you can do with a sax, or maybe I don't know. I don't see me doing those moves with a sax, but
that whole scene wasn't needed. They could have just put a band up there. It didn't need to be this saxophone band leader. I don't know. Maybe he was cheap. I don't know.
Technically, I guess that kind of falls in the bad column, by the way.
Yeah,
that was early in the film, and it was kind of like, really, would they all be rocking out to the sax player? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, look, you and I were at that age, and we definitely did not do stuff like, I mean, we didn't live on a beach, but We also didn't go. So I said, hey, man, that cool, sexy sax player is blowing his horn tonight. Like, yeah, I bet he is. We just moved on.
With many jokes, I'm sure. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. I cannot talk about this song without talking about one of the greatest soundtrack songs, in my opinion, is Cry Little Sister. Cry, little sister.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love the song. I loved it in that movie.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we all got to know it from an artist named Charlie Sexton, who did a cover of it. And it's a song that you, even if you don't know by title, if you know the song if you hear it. And it's a great song. And
if you catch Corey Feldman live, you will hear an awful version of the song. Right.
I wanted to say when you were talking about Corey, and I didn't want to interrupt you, but I have a problem that whenever I see Corey Feldman, even back then, I only see Corey Feldman now. So I can't.
Maybe that's part of it.
I can't take my Corey Feldman glasses off and enjoy the film because I see this guy who's like,
you might say we've got Corey Feldman eyes.
For Mrs. Olsen, you romanticize. You've got Corey Feldman eyes.
We just can't not see.
Gary, if I could get behind my kit fast enough, I'd have given you a rim shot for that one.
Thank you.
Well played, sir. That is a Citizen Kane of Corey Feldman jokes.
Yeah, thanks.
It's been said.
Fuck that.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to add that's necessary at this point. So.
Nope. I guess really what we do to wrap up is this, since it's a cult classic, of course, are we still... Or are we, do we say that we are members of the Lost Boys cult is the question. Andy?
Gary, I'm going to go with this.
Still a member of the cult.
I love this. I want to sit and watch this with my 18-year-old daughter and be like, look, this was, you want to know what the 80s were like, minus the vampires. I mean, the clothes. I've said, and I could probably, if I give me time, I could find a picture where I'm dressed way too much like Corey Haim at that time. So I would watch this again. If somebody said, hey, let's watch Lost Boys, I'm like, I'm in. Because I'll watch this anytime. It's still a fun movie to me. And in comparison, I was never a Goonies guy. So I don't have that love. Like a lot of people love Goonies. I don't have that love for Goonies. I don't hate it. I just was like, it's okay. Lost Boys was more my speed. So,
yeah. Well, I will just let you know that I am. I'm a member as well. Look, I totally agree. There's a few things you can pick apart. And as a viewer of now watching it, you could easily pick a bunch of stuff apart. But you have to put it in the time period and the nostalgia factor. I just love it. I just had a really good time watching it again. And I could see seeing it.
Absolutely.
Multiple times.
It's a fun movie. And, I pray to God that Hollywood doesn't feel the need to remake this a la Roadhouse. Just leave it alone, man. This movie was fine. It doesn't need to be
redone. Leave the Lost Boys alone.
Yeah. I'll cry like a little sister. Oh, please edit that. Just cut that out.
And let's end it on that. Thanks, everybody. Please like, bye, comment, subscribe, and let us know what you think. Are you still a member or were you ever a member of the cult of Lost Boys? And if not, let us know why. Is it Corey Feldman? Do you have Corey Feldman on? Thanks. See you guys.
This has been a Touch of Madness production, brought to you by the creative minds at Tommy Twins Media.